This is the Storage Unpacked podcast.
Hi, this is Chris Evans recording a Storage Unpacked podcast. Today I'm in the offices of Hitachi Vantara, and I'm sitting with Jonathan Martin, CMO. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Chris. Great to
be here. And I'm sitting with John McGee, who is VP of
Portfolio Marketing.
I knew I was pretty close on that. Yeah. That wasn't too bad. This is a great opportunity for me to sit with you and have a chat about where the company's going since we got together last. Well, what would it been? Was it September that we had Hitachi Next in San Diego?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
No helicopters flying past, no noise background. Thankfully, we're in a bit more of a calmer environment.
Right.
But really, this is a great opportunity to talk about, firstly, how the company's evolving, and talk about some of your strategies going forward. So, Jonathan, I mean, you've got a great background in various different companies in this area. Certainly, the last time I saw you was at Pure Storage, but you've worked for EMC, you've worked at Veritas, you've worked at a number of companies that have been very infrastructure-focused. What's it like coming to a company that's very much more data-focused in its outlook?
Yeah, so thanks, Chris. Definitely, you know, I think by accident, I've ended up being a storage veteran. This was definitely not the intent.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. I think, you know, if you look at what's happening in the market, it's beginning to bifurcate a little bit. And the infrastructure world is bifurcating into, you know, the pure plays, no pun intended, the kind of the Rubrics, the Cohesities, the Pures, which is like, hey, we have a box and we can sell you a box. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got the kind of the HPEs and the Dell EMCs, Dell Technologies, which is more like, hey, we have a data center and we can put that data center in a box in your environment, or we can put it into a cloud. But I think customers are beginning to think about this world slightly differently, which is particularly our largest customers, which is less about a prism of, you know, storage and network and compute, and more of a prism that's focused on apps and data. And if you look at the portfolio that we have at Hitachi Vantara, like, it's a very, very broad portfolio focused on really empowering organizations to take the best advantage of their data.
Okay, great. So if we look back at the way that things have evolved, very much people like me would have known some of the original storage platforms, and obviously they still exist. And John, you and I were talking about that, and that's still a huge part of the company's portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. Storage is the foundation of the infrastructure, and that's our VSP lines, our converged and hyper-converged. And, you know, those are continue to be critical parts of investment and our go-to-market. But what we're seeing is, as everyone is dealing now, especially the larger companies that we tend to serve, they're dealing with this more complex world of now they've got multiple clouds, they're leveraging a lot of SaaS apps, they've got infrastructure all over the place, which means their data is all over the place. So it's a natural evolution for us to help them solve those data management challenges across this edge to core to cloud continuum.
It's definitely becoming more complex. I mean, You just have to listen to people talk about the idea, as you just said, edge, core, cloud, how you take that data from the edge and you process it, and then you perhaps put it in the cloud to do something more complex with it. It seems to me that you're having to expand out your portfolio offerings in order to reach that and work with that. So I've seen that obviously you're now doing as a service solutions for storage and DR. There was the RainCloud acquisition. These all seem to be playing into that requirement to help manage that data rather than just pure infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I think as John was saying, like, data today is very, very distributed. It is spread across a world of, I would say, multiple edges, fat edges, thin edges, multiple core data centers, and multiple clouds. It's very dense. There are very deep pockets of data scattered around the globe. And it's very diverse. It's not just systems data and ERP and CRM. It's not even these days just things like social data. It's all of this, like the machine learning data, the AI data, your sensor data. It's a tremendous breadth of different data types.
Yeah. One of the things I look at that I think is a real issue is how on earth we manage things like security, compliance and stuff with all that data. So there seems to be a need for a huge amount of data governance to sit on top of whatever platform you might have in terms of a physical storage solution.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And we've talked for some time now about the importance of the increased importance of object storage and the metadata capability that it brings and the ability to enrich data. And that's true for analytics purposes when you're thinking about data lakes and everybody says, we've got a data lake that's now a data swamp. We don't know what we put in there. How do we get value out of it? That's an area where metadata is key to solving those problems, but also on governance, as you said, you know, how much dark data is out there? What's its risk profile? What do we do with it? How should it be managed? How should it be stored? So I think that we're seeing increased adoption and of object storage, and in particular S3 interfaces, because that spans both the hyperscaler clouds and what we do on-prem with Hitachi object storage. Yeah. And being able to do that, again, across that continuum is what the problem that a lot of customers are trying to solve.
Okay. And as part of that, the technology that you're putting in place, we know you've got the object storage technology and all of that's there. So would you say that when you look at the way that customers are trying to, I guess, go on this journey, you could look at it and say at one end you've got infrastructure, which is the very basic start of the spectrum, if you like. But at the other end, you've got extremely high analytics and data pipelines. We'll come on to what data pipelines and that sort of thing means. Do you feel like customers are coming to you asking you for help to push themselves further down that spectrum towards the data side? And is it being driven by the fact that they trust your infrastructure knowledge and, you know, your existing technology?
Yeah, I think the thing that we see increasingly is organizations are coming to us saying, hey, like, we have all this data. How do we monetize it? What do we do with it? And how do we monetize it to either help us reduce cost or find new business opportunity? And in order to be able to monetize the data, they need to be able to do deep analytics on it. To be able to do deep analytics on it, they need to be able to enrich that data. And obviously, to be able to enrich that data, they first need to know where the data is stored in this edge-to-multi-cloud world.
Let's talk about scale, because it seems to me that one of the most obvious things is how you deal with this at scale. So when we talked last year, we've talked a lot about the products and the components you've got that come together to help to build this, what I might class as a data pipeline. And I think you use that term data pipeline anyway, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So where somebody will take that data, they will produce some sort of analysis on it that will allow them to go away and use that information practically. And then you've got a feedback loop where you go round and round, redeveloping, refining your AI. But it seems that that's really hard to do at scale if you're in a company where you could have data sources that are being created daily that are coming in from different locations. And one of the terms that we're starting to see appear now is this idea of something called data ops. So what is that exactly does that mean? Because that sounds like it might be a bit of a buzzword, DevOps conversion to a word. Or, you know, what does it actually mean and how does it really apply in your business?
Yes, I think if you look at DevOps, you go back 5 or 10 years, that really was a movement created out of the impedance mismatch between people that wanted to use applications and people that were creating applications. And the desire for new apps and more and more and more apps was just not being solved by traditional kind of app development methods. So there was a mismatch between the creators of the apps and the consumers of the apps. And we're seeing a very, very similar trend in our largest customers right now, which is how do they get the right data? And we talked there about kind of regulatory requirements, fiduciary requirements, like how do they make sure they get not all the data, but just the right data to the right place. And the right place might be a person, might be an analyst, might be a machine. And increasingly, it's a machine, or it might be a device. And how do they get that right data to the right place and do it in the right time? And I think that's the thing that is becoming mission critical for organizations is the good old days of like, hey, how, you know, the CRO walk into your office and saying, hey, how much do we sell in the mainframe environment? And me being like, hey, I'll get back to you in 3 weeks when we get all that data together. Today, it's like you want to ask the question and you want a response and you want to ask the next question and you want a response and you want to ask the next question and you want a response. And so we're really seeing this idea of data ops solving this impedance mismatch between the kind of the creators and the managers of data. And again, we've talked about what huge volumes of data that is, many, many different sources. It's distributed, it's dense, and the consumers of those data, people like Hans Peter, who sits next door, or CRO.
Okay, but just coming up with a new term and actually putting it in place is one thing. There's going to need to be tools, there's going to need to be new processes around that. So is that something that you're working on and developing? And is it a methodology? Exactly what is it that, you know, this offers? What's the best way to describe it?
Yeah, I think data ops itself is a methodology or a discipline. So it's something that our customers are looking at. How do we get better at this? You know, if you look at, you know, especially the analytics side, everybody's talking about the potential for machine learning and AI to really transform businesses, industries. The prognostications are very ambitious.
Yeah.
But then you look at, you know, all, so if every interaction is driven by chatbots fed by machine learning models and applications are embedding analysis more and more, all of that requires more and more data. Then you look at, okay, today, how does we as an industry get that data and deliver it? And we're still relatively in the Stone Age, and companies are waking up to this, that we have to get the ability to deliver the right data to the right place at the right time much faster, much more automated. So in some ways, you could say, well, data ops, yeah, a new term that companies are starting to use that says, let's solve these data management challenges. The challenges themselves have been around a long time, but the criticality is people want to transform digitally. They want to get more value out of their data. They're looking at machine learning and AI, and they're saying, we got a problem here. So what we're doing is really focused on automating those data pipelines. So automation, in the same way Jonathan mentioned DevOps, and that's a good analogy in that sense, is you had these very cumbersome manual processes. They need to be a lot more automated. They need to be a lot more managed. They need to be policy-based. So you can say, we can't share data with those people. They shouldn't have access to this data, but we can share data with these people. So there's a lot there, and it is ultimately a process and a discipline, but there's a lot of tooling that we think we can help customers with, as well as, you know, our sharing our expertise from working with other organizations.
Right. I think the tool side of things and that data governance is one area I find really interesting.
Yeah.
The reason I say that is because imagine an organization decides that they've got a new data source that somebody said, oh, we could put cameras up in all our offices and we could track when people are moving around and help it turn the lights off and do other things, or use it as security, or we could put cameras on the outside of the building, whatever it happens to be. Who decides how, when that data source is created, it becomes a data source that somebody within the business can then use and then use within a certain context? You know, is that going to be an automated tool that does that? Or does that need somebody to set policy and governance? You know, how much involvement will be in that data ops process at that point?
Yeah, I think we see different organizations approach it differently. I mean, we've seen the rise of a title like Chief Data Officer, who is often chartered with looking at these governance issues holistically across the organization.
Right.
But others, you know, approach it differently. But I think the shift that's happening here is, you know, IT in general has been very focused on applications and infrastructure for those applications. And so we talk a lot about, this is our ERP app, this is our CRM app, this is our Mode 2 kind of analytics application stack. But data cuts across all of those and needs to be shared across those. So now you're seeing this shift to more people in the organization who are thinking about data holistically, both from a governance and policy perspective, but also folks like chief digital officers who have a mandate to come in and innovate digitally for their companies, who are saying, I need to get at a whole bunch of data so that I can correlate and deliver new insights and open up new business models and so on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in addition to the processes and the tools, there's kind of an evolution in skills that are going to be required as well in the data center. So this is, you know, a lot of people, when they look at data ops, they're like, hey, isn't this like just data management? And there's definitely a lot of data management thing, but it's like data management for the AI era. We're not like doing data management just inside the data center. We're doing it across, as we said, this edge to multi-cloud world. But there's also the rise of finding new titles in the data center as well, around like data engineers, these people that are doing, you know, doing all the plumbing, you know, plugging the pipes between the creators and the consumers of the data, as well as the burgeoning trend, certainly here in Silicon Valley anyway, around big data and data scientists and people that are increasingly consuming this content.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, because if you look at the analogy of DevOps and the idea of the site reliability engineer, you know, are we going to see data ops and a data reliability engineer? You know, are we going to see that sort of job as something that those people are actually doing day to day in order to give the data to the apps in a sort of holistic fashion?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're saying there is.
Absolutely. Like, I think different people are calling them different things, but there's definitely this like rise of this new title, a new set of skills around really plugging the plumbing together and making sure that the right data is getting to the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and if you look at machine learning models, they're models. They get tweaked all the time. They get better and better. They get changed, and they need to be put into production in the same way applications do. So that connectivity between the people building the models, the data scientists, the people working with the data behind them, and then the handoff into a production data center somewhere to actually take advantage of the new model, that's got to get a lot more automated.
It seems like there's a risk with all of this, if we do automate, though, that we could break the process. Give you an example, and I've used this example a few times. Imagine you've got AMPR cameras, or whatever they're called over here. I'm not sure they're called the same thing. AMPR, as in the camera number plate detecting cameras.
That can pick up. License plate.
Yeah, so that can pick you up when you're driving around and they can see you there. Yep. Imagine you could hack into that and you could feed that data incorrectly into the system. Mm-hmm. And then you wanted to do something, and then you could just feed into the police's system that's tracking you, going, well, this guy isn't around here anymore. He must have left. His car isn't being picked up. How on earth do we manage that process of saying this data coming in has to be valid or at least trusted before we move it on? Do you think there's a gap for technology there? I mean, everybody said to me so far, oh, that'll be blockchain. Well, that seems like a bit of a sort of facetious answer, but it seems like we need some sort of validation in that process of that data that's being created. I don't even know whether that exists.
No, I think what you're highlighting is this the intersection of compliance and governance with all these analytics things. So I think the data ops concept kind of emerged out of the analytics world a bit siloed. But when we look at our customers, we have video analytics, we have license plate recognition, we have those technologies in our portfolio. We work with customers on a lot of smart spaces and smart cities kinds of scenarios. And they'll solve those problems in different ways. But I think the broader point you're highlighting is this, that you can't do one without the other. So the analytics have to bring the governance.
Yes.
And that's all the more argument, we think, for more automation. I mean, human beings can screw things up pretty well, too, on their own.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you've got policy-based automation, then I think you've got a better shot at consistency and governance.
Right. So in terms of the idea of data ops, it sounds great, but I imagine that that means that you must be working on technology and processes at the moment in order to help customers deal with that requirement. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have, for many years now, help customers with things like data lake projects. So if you set up a data lake, whether that's Hadoop or more traditional data warehousing and so on, first thing you have to do is feed the data lake, onboard the data, lots of different sources there. That's got to be blended. That's got, you know, using ETL and other kinds of things. So bringing a lot higher level of automation and repeatability to those. So we do things like metadata injection. So if you're pulling data off a factory floor for machines, for example, it's just random series of time series data. You can inject metadata as you're pulling that data, which can then be used downstream for more of this automation, how to handle it, how to manage it, who should see it, and those sorts of things. So again, metadata is a key theme across that, and we've been doing a lot of that already. The other really interesting thing is the convergence of, you know, traditional data integration capabilities with more of the metadata that's available around object storage. So with Hitachi Content Platform, we've taken our Pentaho data analytics and integration capabilities and integrated them with our Hitachi Content Platform, as well as with other S3 compatible object storage platforms in AWS and Azure and so on. And so what that means is now you can have a consistent metadata view of what your data is and all the policies that flow from that. What's its value? Who should have access to it? And all those sorts of things. So that's unlocked a whole bunch of new scenarios for customers of being able to take data and maybe stage it on-prem in object storage, understand be able to do analytics there, maybe pull some of the data out of there into a cube for analysis, or then you start getting into governance scenarios and storage optimization scenarios. So a lot of these use cases, you know, data pipelining, the term kind of grew out of the analytics world, and that makes a lot of sense because that's where it's an acute problem. But now that you think about this edge to multi-cloud world, the data managers, the people that we work with every day that do data backups and copy data management and long-tier storage optimization for cost or flexibility or performance, they're all wrestling with similar problems. It's like, how do we decide when it makes sense to tier data cold, colder, colder? And how do we automate those processes? So that world has the same challenges as the analytics world in the sense that often these are manual projects. Somebody gets an idea of they're going to change the policy, but all of that effort to go into automating that tiering, including off to maybe Glacier and AWS for long-term storage, those processes are ripe for automation as well. And so when we look at data ops as a holistic discipline, it includes the data pipelines for the data scientists and the business, but also the infrastructure side and how data is being managed there.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because that seems like an area that people initially called data management. So, I've written about this a number of times and said, well, hold on, that's just better storage management.
Yes.
That's looking at technology and just saying, well, we're optimizing the way we're using it. That's not real data management.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of companies that have come to the market that are talking data management that are not really delivering what perhaps you would class as data management. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think, you know, we continue to get guided by our customers in terms of their demands and what they're looking for. And this is like new capabilities, new technologies, new processes to manage data in this very, very broad kind of new world.
Yeah. So can we talk about customer specific?
Just to back up one point on that, because again, we're dealing with these convergences of these requirements in world. So yes, storage management for tiering, cost, you know, ILM, all the things we've done for many, many years as an industry, all make total sense. But now because of this edge to cloud continuum, things are a little more complicated. So you've got to have a little more help from understanding what your options are, what your targets are, what their capabilities are, and then being able to do policy-based distributed management across that. But the other thing, even with something like backups, you know, a backup typically you're gonna compress data reduction, and that's a black box then to that file. But
yeah.
You know, some of our copy data management capabilities, for example, we can do that, still get data reduction, but still be able to use those for discovery. So if you're dealing with GDPR requirements, you're dealing with other things, these files are no longer just black boxes that you don't have access to. So there's compliance reasons, governance reasons, and analytics too. If you're trying to figure out if you've got data out there that could be interesting to help you solve a problem from an analytics perspective, being able to have visibility in that data. So the requirements are converging, and you know, we can't just think about storage in terms of cost optimization and performance. We've got to be able to think about it in terms of enabling the business too.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I think the reason I guess I said it the way I did is because just as the way that the market's been using those terms, and I think it's a bit unfair to be trying to label what people might think as being focused on the content and the data, mm-hmm. when actually it's not really. It's just on optimizing the actual platform.
And that's itself. Fair. And again, I think
still a valid requirement, but it isn't necessarily, you know, data and air quotes management.
It's storage management, core. It's data management. Yeah. And I think when, you know, you could say, well, this data ops term that customers are starting to use is just a, you know, a new buzzword for that. But I think what is different there is they're looking for a higher level of automation, repeatability, and policy-based approaches, as opposed to let's get a bunch of administrators and try and figure this out in a three-week project.
Yeah. So can you give us any examples of customers that specifically have projects they're working on where they've pulled all of this data together?
Yeah, I think one that we've highlighted in the past is Carfax. So if you're familiar with them, they pull
I've
a lot
seen
of
that
data.
On the TV. Is that the guy with who's the fox?
Yes, the fox exactly. Character? That's their their advertising campaign. Yeah, but what they basically do is provide vehicle record history for car buyers, so they can go out and look at used car histories of were they in an accident, what's their record, what's their value, and so on. So they are pulling data from all kinds of external sources, hundreds of different sources from, you know, the Department of Motor Vehicles and the car manufacturers and anything else, and they've got to integrate all that data. So right away, you're dealing with this big data integration challenge. You've got to blend that data. You've got to make it consistent. You've got to be able to apply policies to what you're going to do with it. But from a data ops perspective, what they were then starting to do is look at storage optimization. How do we want to store this? Where do we want to store it? That was step one. And then they start thinking about tiering that data and then analytics. And so they made this move to object storage using Hitachi Content Platform. So S3 based object storage, so that they could get more metadata visibility across that data set that they have. That lets them run analytics on the data that they have. It lets them understand what they have. And then they took that next step of, okay, from an operational and cost perspective, do we want to be tiering certain data off to other storage repositories, including public cloud scenarios? So they've kind of gone through that whole evolution of, we've got a lot of different data sets. We've got to do a lot of analysis on them. We've got to publish that data out. So we've got to do a better job of understanding what it is. And that's where metadata comes in, and the combination of what you're doing with data integration to inject metadata into that and then feed that into a storage platform like S3 object storage, that you can get a lot more value out of than just traditional, you know, file or block.
I mean, obviously the metadata is key to all of this, without a doubt, but how are customers looking at hybrid cloud these days, do you think? Because obviously when we talked about cloud, we initially said everybody's going to go to cloud, and everybody looked at, I think, a cloud and said it was, or public cloud, shall we call it, because that's, you know, cloud and private cloud, public cloud, it gets messy. But when people saw public cloud, I think they thought everything will move there. That would be great. But initially it was all infrastructure. Now it's a lot more about being able to run apps and analytics and stuff in the cloud. So there's a real issue there that says, what do I do about the data? Should I go all in and push my data in the cloud? Should I keep some of that data on-prem? Because ultimately the value of my platform is the data. So what are you seeing customers sort of feeling about that choice, if you like?
Yeah, so I think customers are looking at, you know, placing apps and placing data in the location that makes the most sense for them. So sometimes that's out at a fat edge, sometimes that's in a core data, sometimes that's in a cloud. I think one of the things to realize when you get into the data side is that physics is against us in terms of moving everything into the cloud. So if you look at the speed of growth of bandwidth in even the internet versus the growth of data, I think the stat from 2 years ago was that if you were trying to put all of the data from 2017 into the cloud, even if you dedicated the full capacity of the internet to just doing that one task, you'd move a maximum of 2% of the information that's created. And that is only going to become a bigger and bigger challenge as more and more data is created out of the edge. And if you look at, you know, all of the analyst statistics about kind of where the growth in data is going to come from, it is like exponentially happening. happening or being created by machines and being created out in the edge. And so I think, you know, the new world that we're going to be living in is this world of multiple edges, fat edges, thin edges, multiple core data centers, and multiple clouds, and trying to figure out how to manage data in that environment, how to enrich the data you have from multiple external sources, how to help you analyze that data and ultimately get value from it through either monetizing it by reducing cost or monetizing it by creating value.
So I think we need to look at it and think, really, perhaps it's not all about putting my data asset in my one core data center. Majority might sit there, but actually I'll be distributing applications, I'll be distributing processing to the edge, because I just can't drag all of that data in to make it justifiable to process in core. I mean, we've sort of seen that as a message, but that's a real challenge, I think, for people to get their heads around the idea that they've got a distributed data model now, yeah, rather than a centralized data model.
Absolutely.
So, you know, even just CIOs who are looking at how on earth they sort of design the data model that they start with, never mind how the applications run on top of that, that's a very different approach that they have to really start thinking about.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that's forcing this pivot that we talked about right at the start, which is, you know, in the old world, it was all about, you know, storage and servers and networks, and that was the pivot. That was the lens that people focused on. Today, it's really about like apps and data and getting that data model that spans this new world.
So going back to that, actually, John, and thinking about that idea of where data could be distributed in many different places, how does, say, the Rain Cloud acquisition fit in with that?
Yeah, so we acquired Rain last fall, in September, and what they do is help customers migrate and rationalize their applications and data between these different clouds. So they're a leading, they can manage the process and the security and the other requirements of potentially moving an application from an on-prem data center to an AWS or an Azure or Google Cloud. And they can also help customers migrate infrastructure definitions into private cloud scenarios,
right,
in factories around the world and so on. So this was a recognition by us that this is the world we're living in. And, you know, I think a lot of people look at HDS as the kind of on-prem big iron company, and certainly we are doing that for customers all over the place, but it's a recognition that the world is becoming more distributed and customers need help. And the interesting thing is, a lot of these projects, we're seeing customers, they as you said earlier, there was a rush to the cloud, and there still is. There's a lot of good reasons to run in the hyperscaler public cloud, but there's a lot of reasons that you need to be able to run at the edge, whether that's IoT or robo kinds of branch office scenarios, or the requirements of AR and VR on kind of bandwidth issues. So that's a growing area. And then people are looking at their infrastructure. So it's not really about, yeah, data center versus public cloud. It's about distributed infrastructure that's all of a piece, and you've got to manage across that. So for us, we're now in a very cloud agnostic position within the industry. We,
right,
come in and we say, what's your cloud strategy? How can we help? And if it's to build out cloud level service levels in an on-prem data center, we'll help with that. If it's to optimize and rationalize applications into AWS or Google Cloud or Azure, we'll help them with that. But I think the common denominator there is data has to flow across that, and that's where we really see a lot of potential.
And that needs to be as automated as possible.
Exactly.
Hence the discussion around data ops.
Exactly.
So in terms of data ops and learning more about this, Jonathan, how are we going to see this evolve over the next coming months? Is this going to be a big subject for Hitachi Vantara to talk about? Are we expecting to see this at your next conference?
The next conference.
The next conference later in the year?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going to see a big push from us, and that really started earlier this week, around data ops and kind of being able to press your data ops advantage with Hitachi Vantara. And that's really going to culminate in an event, as you mentioned, the next conference in early October in Las Vegas, where we're really going to be bringing together the leading thinkers around this data ops concept to help kind of educate all our attendees, educate the industry a little bit about kind of the future and the future direction, not just of this as an idea, but this is a major investment area for the company. Secondly, really to help people evolve their skills in the direction of data ops. So we're going to be issuing things like data ops credentials, doing a whole bunch of training. You're a data manager and you want to learn more about doing data ops, you want to learn about what it takes to become a data engineer, there'll be a ton of training around that kind of stuff. And then also really just allowing people to build a broader network in this new world of like-minded individuals. So that'll be early October at the next conference. I'm super excited to stand that up and get it going.
Brilliant. I look forward to it. I think that's going to be really interesting, because anybody who's got skills that is sitting at a certain level who can see where the industry's headed is going to have to get involved in this, even if you're an application developer or if you're into managing storage in the very lowest levels today. This is going to be something that you have to skill up for in the future.
Yeah, that's absolutely the thought.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, I appreciate your time today, guys. Thanks very much for joining me. Is there any way we should point people to look at DataOps and other aspects of the Hitachi Vantara technology?
Absolutely. If you go to hitachivantara.com, you can check it all out there. And if you have a look at the blog, there'll be more and more content about DataOps appearing.
Great. I shall link to that and look forward to catching up with you in October.
Right. Thanks so much.
Great.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.